Folks, there is a VPN arms race. And I don't mean some competition between VPN providers. I'm talking about platforms and internet service providers that deliberately find ways to identify if you're on a VPN and then block you, forcing you to turn off your VPN. Then there's the opposing side where the VPN providers find some way to obfuscate VPN use so it cannot be blocked. Unfortunately, this is a never-ending battle as each side tries to outwit the other. In this video, I will explain how platforms can ban VPNs and then what technologies are available to counter it. As discussed in my last video, the IP address is a dangerous identifier, very dangerous as it becomes your internet ID. So this is one privacy battle we cannot lose. Those who do not use a VPN or some way to obfuscate an IP address risk having their locations tracked exactly. And not just in one spot, but historically based on knowing where your home is. Watch my last video on IP addresses and fog data science to fully understand this. Not all solutions require a VPN, but the approach is the same. Hide the IP address so it doesn't become your internet ID. But new laws, including age verification requirements, attempts to block bots, and even just plain attempts at tracking users, mean that the stakes are constantly being raised. However, today we can still beat it. I have plenty of solutions, and you will learn things the majority of people never understood before about how to protect your IP address. So stay right there. First, as a summary, I'll tell you the common ways they spot if you're using a VPN. And then I'll go into each methodology in more detail. Whatever technology we use to protect ourselves, the point in itself is not the VPN, but focus on the end goal of hiding our IP address from our threat. The threat typically is some internet platform, which is the one likely to use our IP address to track us and then sell our information. But for some, the threat is the government. If you're under active surveillance by some government, then what I will talk about is likely not going to work for you. You will need to use Tor, and even then that will likely get blocked by many sites. Or you go to Starbucks and use their public Wi-Fi. I'm just making it clear that this video addresses a threat from private companies. That is the privacy threat for the common person. In any case, the end goal of these VPN blocking mechanisms is to force you to turn off your VPN. And once you do, your attempts at protecting your privacy can be thwarted. But don't worry, there are solutions. But first, let's analyze the threat and the two methods commonly used. Deep packet inspection. The most common threat for most people that identify VPN use is deep packet inspection. This is a technique heavily used in China, Russia, and other places with the restrictive governments. Deep packet inspection, or DPI, is available on certain hardware, and you can do it using a regular router or you can use dedicated hardware. But in general, DPI is very CPU and memory intensive, so enterprise-grade equipment is needed to do this in bulk. Otherwise, it would be very slow. The main technique is to examine an Ethernet packet and then look for signatures that reveal that it is a particular kind of transmission. In the old days, you can recognize VPN traffic just by the port used, which was 1194. Ports are part of the Ethernet packet. I remember many years back when someone triggered a port 1194 global lock in the US for around a week. I verified this with text from Linode where I was isolating why the VPN stopped working. So nowadays, practically every VPN provider no longer uses 1194 since this is an obvious identifier. That was probably the start of the arms race. DPI uses more advanced techniques like checking the packet header information and looking for patterns in the non-encrypted sections. I don't need to get into the detail, but there are things like an opcode field, an HMAC signature, control packets, and so on. The other issue is that once traffic is detected to come from a VPN, a smart DPI device could just block the IP address for some amount of time, since it would already be known to be a VPN, or it can get added to a VPN IP block list. To make it clear, WireGuard or OpenVPN traffic can be recognized if kept as is. This is one of the biggest developments in the VPN arms race. By the way, probably to prevent having to buy expensive DPI hardware, I noticed that the majority of large sites depend on Cloudflare for their DPI of VPN traffic. VPN IP address blocks. The other way of identifying a VPN is by either combining the DPI method with an accumulated list of IP blocks, or just by identifying that many people use the same IP address. This brute force method is not reliable anymore, though, because of iCloud Private Relay and network providers like cell carriers and Starlink that use IPv6, since today many people can share IP addresses if they are not home. But the more extreme method, and this is the method likely used by sites like YouTube, is to block IP addresses that do not belong to residential blocks. Residential IP addresses are provided by the cable companies like Charter, Spectrum, Comcast, Cox, for example. And there are the IP addresses owned by the carriers like AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. Finally, there are the IP addresses that come from Apple and Google, which are usually made free to roam. So the assumption made is that if you're not in these residential or personal use blocks or protected groups, then you must be a VPN. This is pretty extreme and will block all enterprise networks, for example, but this is a method some services will use. I remember that Netflix used to use this method, but they must have angered a lot of customers, for example, hotels and businesses. This method is a bit more time-consuming to block, since someone has to actively create a whitelist of IP addresses and a platform risk blocking out real customers. But large companies like Amazon and Google can observe network traffic and could collect VPN identifiers from IP addresses and create automatic block lists by using a combination of DPI and IP address blocks. CGNAT, the IPv6 workaround. Fortunately, today, even without a VPN, there's a way to protect your IP address. The easiest way is just to use mobile data or Starlink. Why does this work? Because mobile data providers and Starlink have millions of users and do not have available IPv4 addresses. So inside their internal network, these networks use IPv6. While an IPv6 address could still identify you, this is really only data available to a government via a search warrant because a website cannot get access to this data available to a carrier, for example. The internet itself only recognizes the old-fashioned IPv4 traffic. And to convert the IPv6 traffic to IPv4, a carrier will aggregate all the IPv6 traffic into a few IPv4 routers. And this process is called CGNAT, or carrier-grade NAT. This means that thousands of people will share the same IPv4 address. This is also true of Apple iCloud Private Relay. You will share the IP address of an IPv4 router somewhere in the middle. And this is the main purpose of a VPN, to share IP addresses to create anonymity. However, realize that a VPN encrypts the data while a carrier or iCloud Private Relay will not. So using this IPv6 technique, the middle network parties can still track your data and sell it. However, they cannot completely see what you're doing because most of our traffic is TLS encrypted from the browser. They just know which websites you're visiting. But in a pinch, this IPv6 workaround is a solution. For example, this allows you to use YouTube without Google tracking you on every click. By combining this with other techniques I teach, like browser isolation and the Google phones, you basically prevent an IP address identifier from being tied to you. This is not perfect, but this is the alternative when your regular VPN is blocked. What you should not use is your IPv4 home Wi-Fi, as that is tied to cable and is the worst identifier of all. That is the IP address you never want to reveal to any third party. IPv6 home routers. Some ISPs will now install IPv6 on your home router instead of IPv4. This brings some pluses and minuses, which I need you to be aware of. The problem with a home network using IPv6 is that every device becomes visible and directly addressable by the ISP. This is a huge security risk because it overcomes the home network protection provided natively in home routers. Currently, on a typical IPv4 home router, there is a natural block to accessing devices directly that is called NAT. It is like a built-in firewall in IPv4, so the ISP can only see the router and not pass it. By default, no ports are accessible and no special setup is required. IPv6 removes that limitation since the NAT is now at the carrier level. That's why it's called CGNAT, carrier grade NAT. So in theory, all your cameras, computers, IoT refrigerators, and washer dryers all become accessible without some sort of heavy firewall against the ISP. To make this even more scary, it would be possible then to reach computers that have Intel AMD vPro and have it controlled remotely. Fortunately, IPv6 is not addressable outside of your ISP, or this would be a massive security risk to all. But still, the risk is there for someone that can talk themselves into accessing the ISP network. You can mitigate this IPv6 risk by sticking a router in the middle locked to IPv4. For example, our Brax Router VPN router is limited to IPv4, so you can attach it to the ISP router and then attach your devices to the IPv4 router. This creates the automatic firewall. Devices connecting to Brax Router are not visible to the ISP, so they get stopped at this router. The advantage of having an IPv6 network is that for occasional use, you still have the ability to use it when the VPN is blocked without revealing an IPv4 address. I would not use a pure IPv6 network regularly unless I have some layer in between for device protection. Residential proxies. Alternatively, you can bypass VPN blocks by signing up to companies that sell you residential proxies. These are companies that give you access to a proxy server, and the IP address of your exit will appear to come from a residential IP address. This is not cheap and is often charged per megabyte of traffic. The easiest way to use a proxy is to enter proxy credentials supplied by your provider to a browser that supports proxies. For example, Firefox supports proxies. And I'll show you that setup screen on Firefox. The most well-known residential proxy provider is IP Royal. But again, it is not cheap. For example, one of their plans is $175 per gigabyte using a residential proxy. Some VPN companies sell residential proxies, which is exactly the same thing as I'm saying here. Understand the limitations of this. There is no encryption in the middle. However, since there is no big tech organization or carrier in the middle, this is typically low risk. The typical way you would save money with this is to sell your own IP address to IP Royal and route their traffic to your network, and they'll pay you for that privilege. And presumably the cost of your outgoing traffic versus the income from their incoming traffic will cancel out, so you may be able to do this for free. The risk is if there's some abuser using the network, like someone downloading illegal content, and then it gets tied to your IP address, which puts you at risk for a copyright lawsuit. So that's problematic when you share an IP address. A lot of companies that use bots actually use IP Royal to beat VPN blocks, so they can acquire data for AI learning, for example. So I'm sure IP Royal makes big bucks from those businesses. But if nothing works for you for VPN blocking, then this is certainly an option you need to be aware of. Frankly, I don't use this. I have a secondary Starlink network, which is IPv6 CGNAT. So when someone wants to screw around by blocking my VPN, I go to Starlink, and again, for the occasional use, just use your phone mobile data or just hotspot it. Set up your own proxies. You can alternatively set up your own proxies in the cloud, and then you can hide your traffic. An easy solution, for example, is to use a Linux server and install software like ShadowSocks, VLess Plus Reality, Hysteria 2, and many more. ShadowSocks is probably the easiest, but by default, I found it to be slow. The typical way this is done is that you set up a cloud server in a VPS on sites like AWS or Linode. Then you install ShadowSocks server on it. Then on your local computer, you install your own ShadowSocks client. And then you go to Firefox and specify the proxy server address provided by the ShadowSocks client. In testing, though, I found that Firefox must have some signature that indicates it's on a proxy, so I found that this is still discovered by deep packet inspection. It still works for many sites, but not as effective as I would have thought. A SOCKS 5 proxy is likely a better solution that bypasses Firefox. This method is not simple, but doable. The disadvantage of this is that you still have to pay for the VPS server in the cloud, and then you will be the only user of the proxy IP address. This means you have a unique IP address anyway, which defeats the purpose of hiding an IP address. Normally, you want the IP address to be shared by others, so any information acquired will point to different people and locations and cancel out the identity. Beating deep packet inspection. Solving the deep packet inspection problem has been a long-term project for me. It required a lot of trial and error, extensive testing, and retesting. My goal was simple: create an anti-DPI solution that stays completely invisible to the user, no complicated setup required. The approach involves routing the VPN traffic through an additional server layer that transforms the packet signatures. This makes the entire connection look like standard TLS HTTPS web browsing instead of recognizable VPN patterns. It's essentially a two-server process. The challenge was avoiding major speed hits from the extra hop. After a lot of optimization, I was able to get stable performance with no noticeable slowdown in most cases. From my real-world testing, this type of obfuscation successfully bypasses DPI-based blocks on a large percentage of sites. I've seen around 80% effectiveness in practice. It can never be 100% because it only defeats DPI. Strict residential IP blocking requires different tools like residential proxies. This kind of two-layer obfuscation is becoming more common. Other major VPN providers have their own stealth, camouflage, or obfuscated modes using techniques like TLS wrapping, ShadowSocks, or VLess Plus Reality. The key is finding one that works reliably against Cloudflare and similar protectors. You can't even make a simple restaurant reservation on sites like Yelp without getting blocked sometimes. It's ridiculous how widespread VPN blocking has become. In my testing, solutions like this eliminated blocks on platforms such as Sephora, AT&T, T-Mobile, Craigslist, Discord, and many Cloudflare-protected sites. Of course, the arms race continues. Detection methods will evolve, which is why ongoing testing matters. I don't want to go into the exact technical details here. We want to keep the other side guessing. Tor. The super safe way to protect your IP address is by using Tor, and this is still the gold standard for hiding your IP on the internet. But if a government is searching for you, they can still catch you if you're doing criminal behavior using a timing attack, meaning correlating your traffic to some publicly viewable internet event by time. This is a threat to high-value targets, but not to the average person. The main problem with Tor is that the list of Tor nodes that you exit from is public and published, so it is easy to block a Tor user by recognizing the IP address of the exit node. And yes, Tor is frequently blocked. The other difficulty is that Tor itself is very slow, so it is frustrating to use and is really useless for watching video. The most common ways to use Tor is using a Tor browser, which you can download from torproject.org, or by using the Tor built into Brave. However, this only protects web browsing traffic. For true internet protection, you need a Tor router. A Tor router routes all internet traffic through Tor. This, by the way, is one of the modes in BraxRouter software, so you can run Tor all the time for your full network connection using a Raspberry Pi. Summary. To summarize the big picture, in this day and age of privacy invasion, where every click on the internet is tracked, the VPN and proxy solutions still rank as the number one defensive weapon to protect our IP address from being an internet ID. Effective obfuscation techniques like this can prevent most sites from blocking your VPN. Some other VPN providers may have found their own workarounds. If your VPN gets blocked, switch to IPv6 CGNAT, at least temporarily. But to avoid a cybersecurity attack, do it only for short periods. I'm glad I found some answer, though. It's been frustrating, like I said, when you can't even look for restaurants without turning your VPN off. Folks, if you're interested in discussing this further, please visit our community on the site BraxMe. We have a store on there where you can find some of the products mentioned in this video. We have BytesVPN Stealth with the new anti-data packet inspection technology and Pi-hole DNS. We have BraxRouter, which seamlessly connects all your home users to a VPN, and now with less chances of blocking. We have BraxMail for an email with unlimited aliases. We have Brax Virtual Phone for anonymous phone numbers. There's a sister company that makes hardware. One of the most popular products is the Brax 3 phone, which is back in stock and shipping today. You can find it on braxtech.net. The Brax OpenSlate Android Linux tablet is slated for release in the fall. Thank you to all those that contribute to this channel on Patreon, Locals, and YouTube memberships. See you next time.